AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app. Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms.
Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, "That's rad." It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, "Totally," just shorter. As in, "I totes love going to the mall with Becca." Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, "Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case."
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special. And boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Over the years, you've really kept up with the times. You're on social media.
Like, dislike, block.
Maintained your health.
10,000 steps. I'm a beast.
You even programmed your own smart home.
In 10 minutes, remind me that I'm a genius.
In 10 minutes, I'll remind you that you're a genius.
If you can do all that, you can definitely save for retirement. Just go to aceyourretirement.org, a free online tool sponsored by AARP that can help you get on track with your retirement savings no matter your age. At aceyourretirement.org, you'll meet Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach, and in just 3 minutes, get personalized recommendations to help boost your retirement savings. They're easy to understand and work with your lifestyle. It's quick, easy, and free. Plus, it's brought to you by AARP, so you know they got your back.
You are a genius.
Take charge of your retirement. Go to aceyourretirement.org now. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment.
We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
You're not too cool for me. And in return, I reciprocate that sentiment. I'll never be too cool for you. I was a man with a plan, but now I'm a dad with a decree, and you can't take that from me. Please let it be noted that I told my job they can dock my pay. Right now, it's just too important to take you to school every day. I want to be legendary for you. I want you to puff out your chest when you go to school the same way I do. I walk taller because of you, because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Mom was always very organized.
But my sister and I noticed she started to forget things.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But Mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
My sister and I were there for Mom and each other.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit AI.
Is the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. We're doing a special three-hour deep dive into the Kennedy assassination with my old friend, colleague, co-author, Lamar Waldron, the books that we wrote together about this, Ultimate Sacrifice and Legacy of Secrecy. Also, Lamar's most recent book, The Watergate, The Hidden History, and The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination. Variety magazine called him the ultimate JFK historian. The Chicago Tribune called him one of the best investigative journalists in America. And we started with Dean Rusk, John Kennedy's Secretary of State, came down to Atlanta when Lamar and I were running an ad agency in Atlanta. We were doing a newsletter for the public broadcasting station. Dean Rusk, we interviewed him, and we asked him, you know, right straight up, was there another attempt to assassinate Kennedy that nobody knew, or to assassinate, excuse me, Castro, that nobody knew about, you know, after the Bay of Pigs and after the Cuban Missile Crisis? And Dean Rusk said, yes, there was, which led us to Harry Williams, who was involved in this, who was very, very tight with Bobby, Bobby's closest aide during 1963 and 64, traveled all over the country together. And this was, you know, one of the most amazing and difficult interviews, I think, that I've ever had, that we've ever had, you know, meeting, well, actually with Harry Williams, not so much that, but the John Nolan one. And then Harry led us to John Nolan. But just wrap up Harry Williams real quick here, Lamar, and then let's get into John Nolan.
So what happened with Harry was, so the CIA was still spending millions of dollars a month on all these Cuban exile leaders. Bobby Kennedy said, look, I can't deal with all these guys. I will deal with you, Harry, because you're my friend. I trust you. You pick out, you know, maybe four other leaders from across the political spectrum. We'll back them, you know, the CIA is giving money to lots of other people, but we'll give some real money to the people you pick. And then they will all have to agree to work with Commander Almeida in a coalition government after the coup. Because, again, the Kennedys didn't view this as assassination. They viewed it as, well, the word everybody used with us was elimination.
Right.
Now, and a coup plan. It was helping, you know, it was helping Cubans overthrow Castro, and then it would be followed by democracy. The mafia would not be allowed.
And let me just jump in here real quickly, Lamar, because you know, it's a whole brand new hour, and I want to, the biggest point that we made last hour that I failed to mention was that Harry, you know, revealed to us and you know that the commander of the Cuban army, Juan Almeida, had reached out to Harry and said, I'm willing to help overthrow Castro and the Castro regime, but we're going to need American help, you know, particularly after that happens. Bobby took this to John. John signed off on it. Bobby signed off on it. Cyrus Vance knew about it. Stayed. I mean, it's just,
So it's this big secret program. Right. But unfortunately, even though the Kennedys were determined they would keep the mafia out of the coup plan. Remember, they didn't know the CIA was still working with the mafia to try and assassinate Fidel. So they were determined to keep these mobsters that Bobby was prosecuting, makes sense, out of the coup plan, and the mafia would be forbidden from reopening their posh casinos in Cuba after the coup plan. So the mafia was totally shut out. The mafia had nothing to gain by letting this coup plan go ahead because it wouldn't do them any good. So, unfortunately, at least half a dozen members of the mafia, and by that I mean mafia associates as well as made members, found out about the coup plan. I mean, people ranging from Jack Ruby to the guy John Martino I had mentioned earlier, David Morales, the head of CIA operations in Miami. So a half dozen mobsters and mafia associates, which of course would include Marcello, the godfather of Louisiana and Texas, Trafficante, godfather of Tampa and much of Florida, and Johnny Roselli, the Chicago Mafia's man in Hollywood and Las Vegas, who was the biggest CIA asset of the group, they found out about this. And so what happened was, as hard as Bobby and Harry tried to keep the mafia out, they were able to worm their way in to learn about this plan, and they knew this was so secret, a year after we almost got blown up at the Cuban Missile Crisis, that if they could somehow mix their plans, taint, I guess you would say, the Kennedy plans to stage the coup in Cuba, if they could mix that up with the mafia's plans to use their CIA help not to kill Fidel, but to kill JFK, that would force a cover-up that wouldn't last weeks or months, that could last years and decades, and it has.
Yeah, and so, maybe we should pause here for just one moment and point out that at this point now, late 1963, as the mafia has found out about all this stuff, they have also decided that they're going to kill John Kennedy.
Exactly. And we'll get into more detail on that later. But yeah, they originally were going to kill Bobby Kennedy, because he was the attorney general prosecuting them. But as Carl and Hoffa was determined to do that, we talked to some Justice Department people who had come across that plot. But as Carlos Marcello explained to one of his friends, and I'm sure also explained to his close associate, Jimmy Hoffa, if you kill Bobby Kennedy, the attorney general, JFK will just send in the army after you.
Yeah, wasn't the phrase he used in that meeting? We talked with his lawyer.
What he said was, if you cut off the tail of a dog, meaning if you kill Bobby Kennedy, the head of the dog, meaning JFK, will turn around and bite you.
Exactly.
But if you cut off the head of the dog, then the tail quits wagging, because everybody knew that Bobby Kennedy and LBJ didn't like each other. So literally the day JFK was going to Dallas, so Harry Williams had his four other groups. They were called Bobby Kennedy's Five Fingers, because after Almeida staged the coup and blamed Fidel and probably Raoul's death on a Russian or Russian sympathizer, just like if you open up your hand with Cuba being in your palm and then you close it, and those five fingers all go into Cuba. Harry Williams, there was a military group that we're going to talk about very shortly, being trained at Fort Benning, Georgia. So the first U.S. troops into Cuba after the coup, because would be not a bunch of crew-cut, all-white U.S. Marines. No, it would be Cuban-Americans, the veterans from the Bay of Pigs who had been in training, who were now officers and enlisted men, and the officers were being trained at Fort Benning, Georgia. So they would be the first U.S. troops in this multiracial group, and it was even commanded by a black man who you talk to. And so this was all set. Harry was meeting with top CIA officials in a safe house in Washington on November 22nd. He was getting ready to go in to Cuba. By Monday, he would be going from Guantanamo, the U.S. base, into Cuba. He would be with Commander Almeida. So they were just days away from, I guess you would call it, the fail-safe point, where Harry couldn't be called back, because we didn't have a good way to communicate with Almeida once Harry was inside Cuba, and Harry would wait there until the coup. So these Cuban exile groups were trained, the Cuban American troops were trained, Harry was there, it was a go. It was all set, and then they get the call that JFK has been shot.
Right, and I gotta say, just for people who are listening, you and I sat in Colorado in a restaurant with Harry over a few drinks, and as he laid this whole story out for us, I mean, it was just absolutely
breathtaking.
And by the way, the reason he was still alive to talk when so many of his associates were murdered in the 60s and the 70s was because this man, who was a hero to every Cuban-American in Miami who could not buy a drink or pay for a restaurant meal in Miami, he chose to live in the snowy wilds of Colorado. Well,
you know, Bill Cooper thought he was
hiding. That kept him alive.
Right. Bill Cooper thought he was hiding out. I mean, you know, it turned out he was just, you know, he was importing guns. But the other thing was that he thought that this plan had been declassified. He didn't realize that he was telling us something that was still top secret, which is why when I met with Oliva, he threatened my life over just mentioning this case.
And the important thing there is that Oliva disappeared from the scene in Cuba in the late 1980s.
So when I'm talking
to Dean Rusk, when we're talking to Harry Williams, and we're about to get into General Oliva and John Nolan, they all assumed that when you disappear in Cuba and you're an official, you're dead, right?
Right.
So that's the other big reason they were willing to share all this with.
Right. So they, and obviously if the asset in Cuba, the head of the army who is going to overthrow Castro, if he's dead, then the plan must be gone, right? And so anyhow, we'll continue with this conversation with Lamar Waldron in just a moment. 15 minutes past the hour.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You'll find these stories all laid out, by the way, in the books Ultimate Sacrifice, Legacy of Secrecy, and Watergate, The Hidden History by Lamar Waldron. Holidays is right around the corner, and we're ready. Why? Because we use HelloFresh. HelloFresh delivers delicious recipes and more right to our door, so we can skip that extra grocery store trip, take a break from meal planning, and actually enjoy this special time of the year. HelloFresh always has something new to try, with over 35 chef-crafted recipes each week, chock full of quality ingredients and choice proteins. Plus, we can stock our pantry and even prep for a party with seasonal and convenience items from HelloFresh Market. When we're in a hurry, their 20-minute meals and easy cleanup options make for more quality time around the dinner table and less time in the kitchen. And saving money is always a priority around the holidays. HelloFresh is cheaper than grocery shopping and 25% less expensive than takeout. Louise and I have learned so much about cooking from HelloFresh. Plus, we brought that knowledge to other meals. Sign up today for 70% off plus free shipping with the code TOM70 at HelloFresh.com/TOM70. That's code TOM70 at HelloFresh.com/TOM70.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation.
Yes.
With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which
Correct.
Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
It's 4 a.m., Monday, and you're literally sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. Man, that's love. And if you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. To make sure your child's in the right seat for their age and size, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Daytime highs approaching 47 today under mainly sunny skies. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, lows around 33. Clear skies. Tomorrow, highs around 53. Turning much cooler Sunday and Monday, with highs from the upper 30s to the low 40s. Chance for scattered rain showers Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
New book, Threshold, The Crisis of Western Culture. I'm looking at the deteriorating state of our planet, where the dynamics of environmental, economic, and population change are boiling over the limits within which society can function. I'll be busting the myths and ideologies of religious fundamentalism, capitalism run amok, male domination and hierarchy, and militarism that are draining our world of its natural and human resources and engendering the suffering of millions for the benefit of a few. Threshold examines cultures that have thrived from the mother city of Corral, Peru to modern Denmark, and targets five areas of policy, national, religious, economic, corporate, and environmental, for specific and immediate reform. Radical in scope and boldness, but simple in its common sense logic, my book Threshold illustrates the mistakes we have made as a culture, as a country, and as individuals, and provides the inspiration and motivation that you're looking for to build a better, more sustainable world for all. It's available in fine bookstores everywhere. Threshold. Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. You know, the media is pushing this crazy narrative that with regard to masks and vaccines and COVID and all this kind of stuff, that America is divided. Like, you know, half of us want masks and half of us don't, or half of us want vaccines. It's just not true. 75% of Americans have received at least one dose of vaccine. 70% of Americans think that we should have mask mandates in all of our schools. Only 17%, this is from the latest Pew studies, in a polling, only 17% of Americans are opposed to mask mandates in schools. And what we have is this tiny fringe that is being cranked. Now we're learning from China as well as from Russia and perhaps other countries, plus the people in, you know, relatively small number of people, Trump followers, who think that tearing the country apart is a good thing and somehow it'll hurt Joe Biden and hurt the Democrats in the next election. It's crazy. I got a whole video rant about this over at TomHartmann.com that you can check out. Welcome back. We're talking with Lamar Waldron about the Kennedy assassination. So wrapping up this story about Harry Williams and getting into John Nolan here, Lamar.
Right. So again, the plan is put on hold when JFK is killed. And by the way, Bobby Kennedy, you know, good friends with Harry, Bobby's also good friends with Haynes Johnson, who's a top journalist at the time. And so Haynes Johnson calls Bobby Kennedy. Bobby has left the Justice Department. He, even before the assassination, he's at his nice estate, Hickory Hill. Haynes Johnson gets through to Bobby Kennedy, and Bobby he mentions that Harry's in the room with him, and Bobby says put Harry on the line. Harry comes on the line, and before Harry comes on the line, Bobby tells journalist Haynes Johnson, who has written a book, by the way, on the Bay of Pigs, with Harry Williams.
Now this is right after John is shot.
Right. This within 2 hours. Within 2 hours,
right.
John being shot. Haynes Johnson, like I say, he's visiting Harry at a safe house in Washington where Harry was.
And we confirmed all this.
Right. And so, Harry and Haynes confirmed it.
Yes, to us.
Though Haynes told a slightly different story to another writer until I told him we had recorded our interviews with Harry, and then he went back and confirmed what he had told us. Yeah. And that's basically, Bobby Kennedy told Haynes Johnson, one of your guys did it. Right. Manuel Artemi, who was the mafia compromised, one of those five fingers for Bobby Kennedy, was one of those co-authors who had worked with Haynes Johnson. So Bobby's initial instinct was to finger a mob-connected Cuban exile who was part of the coup plan.
And this is...
In any event. So,
if I could, real quick, this sure. is part of the extraordinary, I don't know if it's pronounced pathos or pathos, you know, it's just the kind of awful sadness about this. Bobby, after his brother has been assassinated, 2 hours after his brother is assassinated, is basically saying to this reporter and to Harry, one of his very closest friends, the program that my brother and I put together to overthrow Castro that was also going to help them in the election of 64, by the way, let's add, that this program that we put together to overthrow Castro is what got turned around and used to kill my brother.
And That's exactly right.
And that just crushed him. I mean, he walked around for months just crushed by the
idea. He was shattered. We talked to John Davis, the Kennedy, who was part of Jackie Kennedy's family and wrote the Marcella biography, and he was at the White House the Saturday after the assassination on Friday, and he said, yeah, Bobby was just a shattered wreck of a person.
Yeah.
So let's get to John Nolan.
Right.
So we've got about
2 minutes.
So once JFK is assassinated, his body, for some reason, of course, there's no autopsy done in Dallas, and the Kennedy, you know, the security officials, you know, FBI, Secret Service, I mean, they practically forced JFK's body out of the hospital because the Dallas officials, they want to do the autopsy there, right? And the Secret Service, FBI, they get it on the plane, they get it to Bethesda Naval Hospital. So why is all that? So one of the people that Harry Williams said we should talk to was a guy by the name of John Nolan. Most of your listeners will not know John Nolan from a hole in the ground, but John Nolan worked at the Justice Department. He was an attorney there. He was Bobby Kennedy's chief aide during 1963 and early 64. He had all the security clearances. Every top secret document that got sent to Bobby Kennedy, who was running the Cuban operation for JFK, was seen by John Nolan. So John Nolan knew everything. He is one of those dozen U.S. officials who knew, yeah, the coup plan is no what-if possibility. It's a sure thing. And so Harry said, you guys should talk to John Nolan. So we called and I arranged a, he said, okay, you can come to my, or we can go out to lunch. You know, I don't really want to talk about this at the office. We can go out to lunch. Okay. So I'm going to fly up to Washington. The day before I fly up, Nolan says, now Nolan, by 1992, he is a senior partner at Washington's most powerful law firm. He remained close to Bobby Kennedy, working on his last campaign until Bobby was shot. He then remained close to the Kennedy family, giving Ted Kennedy advice after Chappaquiddick that if Ted Kennedy had followed, Ted Kennedy might have become president someday. So John Nolan is this, you know, John Nolan's the kind of attorney who argues in front of the Supreme Court, you know, not once or twice, but you know, he represents big companies, but he worked in civil rights for Bobby Kennedy, made dangerous trips to the South in the summer of 63, so John Nolan, you know, was a guy who knew all the secrets. And when we come back, I'll tell you the biggest secret that he revealed about JFK's autopsy that is just amazing.
We'll be right back with that, with Lamar Waldron, the guy the Chicago Tribune called one of the best investigative journalists in the United States, the author of The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination, right after this.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
After we interviewed Dean Rusk back in the 80s, Lamar and I worked on this for nearly 20 years. Lamar has continued the work. We'll be right back.
Have a car sitting around you want to get rid of? Then here's a great idea. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Yes, one fast call to the Veteran Car Donation Program and we'll come and remove your car for free. Fast, free towing, and 24-hour response. You can donate most cars, trucks, or SUVs in most conditions. The proceeds raised goes to help active military, veterans, and their families, and you get a tax deduction. All you need to do is make this free call. Get rid of that old car and help the vets. We make it easy. Make this free call now and book your fast and easy pickup. Call the Veteran Donation Program now. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Operators are standing by. Here's the number.
800-880-5013. 800-880-5013. 800-880-5013. That's 800-880-5013.
If you served in the Marine Corps, by now you know about the contaminated water problem at Camp Lejeune. If you were stationed or worked at Camp Lejeune from 1953 to 1987, you probably have a lot of questions. We have some answers. You could be entitled to compensation. Billions of dollars are being allocated to pay for damages to anyone stationed at Camp Lejeune during that time. Unfortunately, it appears that officials may have known the contaminated water problem existed and did little to protect their men. The Semper Fi Code was not honored. If you or someone in your family has developed a serious illness, including various forms of cancer, call this Camp Lejeune legal support line right now. You can't turn back the clock and change what happened, but you can certainly call right now and learn your rights as a Marine. Here's the number.
800-653-2073.
The Shaw 101 FM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Hi, it's Don Brown, host of This Week in Waukesha, inviting you to catch our coverage of this year's 2022 Waukesha Christmas Parade, Sunday, December 4th. The coverage starts at 3, the parade starts at 4. We'll be live in front of the Wauk Radio Studios talking to the marchers, the participants, the fans, and all the people that make this parade in this community a very special place. Waukesha Christmas Parade, covered here on Wauk Radio 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry.
What am I fearing? Why do I worry at all? 'Cause I can feel that.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
All you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. I came out in the 11th grade. Nobody was embracing you. The kids were cruel. It was very difficult to be gay. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
The hard part was determining that I was going to do it, but I definitely didn't do it alone.
At age 30, with the help of her mentor, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
I have a mentor, Maria. She convinced me to continue my education and to finish what I started to get my diploma. Just never judges. She's a true role model. If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, go get it. You can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Share the Tom Hartman program with your friends. We're available on SiriusXM, Free Speech TV, Pacifica, commercial stations nationwide, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, on the Tom Hartman app, and you can even tell your smart speaker to listen to the Tom Hartman program. So we have a new video up over at TomHartman.com. It's about 18 U.S. Code 2384, which is a law that was published back in, or put on the books on June 25th, 1948. It was updated in 1956. And it's very, very straightforward. It says, if two or more persons in any state or territory or in any place subject to the jurisdiction of the United States conspire to overthrow, put down, or destroy by force the government of the United States, or to levy war against them, or to oppose by force the authority thereof, or by force to prevent, hinder, or delay the execution of any law of the United States, or by force to seize, take, or possess any property of the United States, they shall be fined under this title or imprisoned for not more than 20 years or both. Tell me that doesn't perfectly describe what happened on January 6th. Seditious conspiracy. The video is at TomHartman.com. Check it out. And welcome back. We're talking with Lamar Waldron, the author of The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination, and the co-author with me, or actually I'm the co-author with him, of Legacy of Secrecy and Ultimate Sacrifice, two other books about the Kennedy assassination, the Bobby Kennedy assassination, and the Martin Luther King assassination. Lamar, we've gone from Dean Rusk, Kennedy's Secretary of State, to Harry Williams, who was the hero of the Bay of Pigs and was helping organize this plan along with the head of the Cuban Army, Juan Almeida, to overthrow Castro or assassinate Castro with a Cuban-aligned patsy, essentially, taking the credit for it on December 1st, 1963. And now we are talking about John Nolan, right?
Right, right. And by the way, it wasn't a Cuban-aligned patsy, it was a Russian-aligned patsy.
Russian, thank you very much.
Russian or Russian sympathizer.
In Cuba.
It would be in Cuba to, as in Harry's own words, take the fall.
Yeah.
So John Nolan, the top assistant. I mean, Bobby Kennedy had a secretary, Angie Novello, but John Nolan was his high level executive assistant. You know, number two, could speak for Robert Kennedy, saw every top secret piece of paper. So it was in fact John Nolan who was helping to route those calls. You know, deciding who could speak to Bobby Kennedy the afternoon of the assassination while Bobby was at his estate, and who couldn't. So he was making sure the right people, like CIA Director John McCone, knew where Bobby Kennedy was, and blocking all the non-essential calls. So what happens is, so JFK's body is taken from Dallas against the wishes of the Dallas authorities, flown to Washington on the same plane where Jackie Kennedy and new President Lyndon Johnson are, and then it is taken to Bethesda Naval Hospital, where there's an autopsy, which has been the subject of many books. I mean, books not just about the JFK assassination. Many books have been written just about the autopsy because there are so many inconsistencies and mysteries and things that don't add up, and the main autopsy doctor burning his notes with his first autopsy reports in his fireplace because he didn't even know about one of the main wounds in the JFK's body when he finished the autopsy. So all those questions about the autopsy, as far as I'm concerned, now they've all been answered, because when So John Nolan, it was originally we were going to get together for lunch in Washington. He was going to leave his, you know, the biggest law firm in Washington, where he's a senior partner, meet me for lunch. We were going to talk, you know, and the only reason he was talking to me, he made it clear, was because he was still friends with Harry Williams after all those years. They were still close. He trusted Harry. And if Harry said I was okay to talk to, he would give me an hour of his time. Okay. So So then I get to Washington. I call him and say, so we need to make some lunch plans. He says, no, can't. I can't meet you for lunch. You just come to the office, okay? So I say, okay, I'll come to the office. And then he's like, no, we can't do that. Somebody might see you here. And again, this is talk, you know, this is because we're going to be talking about a plan that's been kept secret since 1963. This is 1992. And then he's like, I just can't see you. I'm like, look, I flew all the way up here. Harry said you'd be a good guy to talk to. So he agrees to give me a phone interview, okay? We start talking every time, and I'm not at the Mayflower where we usually stayed, but I'm at the I think the Grand Hyatt where we would do our communication seminars. And every time I would get, you know, we talk about general stuff, and you know, he was a Korean veteran. My dad was a Korean veteran. He was about the same age when he was working for Robert Kennedy that I am. I was when I was talking to him on the phone. So yeah, I was looking for those things in common. But whenever I would get close to talking about the coup plan, the worst crackling would come on the phone, and we would get cut off. I mean, it didn't happen once. It didn't happen twice. It didn't happen three times. It didn't happen four times. It happened at least six times. Finally, the last time, somebody doesn't want us to talk about this. So I go outside. Luckily, there's a bellhop. I whip out a $10 or $20 bill, say, look, get me a phone out of one of these other rooms, plug it in here, and just take my phone, put it in the other room. You know, so bellhop does that, bellman, I should say. And sure enough, no more problems. There was just something funny about that phone. And so he confirms everything Harry had told us about the coup plan. He confirms that E. Howard Hunt and James McCord were the top two CIA agents assigned to help Harry, not to give Harry orders, but to help Harry, which, by the way, E. Howard Hunt, who was a big racist, super resented, and that Bernard Barker was E. Howard Hunt's assistant for the coup plan. And so he's confirming all this stuff, and then we start talking about the autopsy. And he says, you know, well, Bobby had me meet him in Washington, and then Bobby was up in the 17th floor family suite at Bethesda Naval Hospital. I was down in and just outside the autopsy room on a phone, and I was relaying Bobby Kennedy's orders to the White House physician, Admiral Berkeley, who was in the autopsy room the whole time, and then Admiral Berkeley was giving orders to the autopsy physicians, sometimes through the commanding officer of Bethesda Naval Hospital. So sometimes it would go, you know, it would literally, Bobby's 17th floor with Jackie, he's on the phone with Nolan, Nolan's relaying what Bobby wants to Admiral Berkeley, the White House physician, Admiral Berkeley is then either relaying those orders directly, in some cases, to the autopsy physicians, or to the commanding officer, then relaying Bobby's wishes to the autopsy physician. Pretty much said, yeah, Bobby Kennedy controlled the autopsy.
Right, so it was if I can just insert real quickly here, at that point in time, Bobby Kennedy believed he knew who had killed his brother.
Oh, right, and he was assuming...
He thought he had some role in it.
Well, Bobby Kennedy thought that, yes, somebody somehow connected with the coup plan had turned part of the coup plan against JFK.
Right. And this had to be covered up no matter what, because this was still a live plan.
And get this, Bobby Kennedy was part of the cover-up. As John Nolan confirmed in a document you got at the Kennedy Library in Massachusetts confirmed, and then I got 20 more pages, since September of 1963, a secret subcommittee of the National Security Council, overseen by, you know, on the orders of Bobby Kennedy, was making plans for what to do if an American official was assassinated, and it seemed in any way somehow related to Cuba. Because they were worried, what if Castro found out about the coup plan and tried to retaliate? So since mid-September, this secret subcommittee had representatives from the State Department, from the CIA, from the Department of the Army in the form of Alexander Haig and Joseph Califano. They were making these plans. So
If I could interrupt just to clarify, this is after the Cuban Missile Crisis, and their fear was that if Castro found found out that Kennedy was going to try and assassinate him on December 1st, 1963. Number one, he could thwart it. But number two, if it happened or if it got publicized, it could cause Russia to intervene again, and it could lead to World War III. It could lead to the extinction of the entire world or a large chunk of it.
Exactly. Because we had almost had World War III the year before, and they worried about things like, well, maybe the U.S., I mean, maybe Cuba might blow up an airliner. But like I say, one of their biggest worries was that, what if an American official got assassinated before the coup plan and there looked like there was some Cuban connection? So Nolan, so we've only got about 21, I believe it's 21 pages of what are probably close to 1,000 pages of official U.S. government plans for what to do with an American official's assassination. We've got 21 pages. The rest of those are supposed to be released December 15th. Of course, they won't be. But John Nolan saw every one of those pages. He saw every one of them. So he's telling me, he said, look, that's why JFK's body didn't have the autopsy done in Dallas. And he gave me this example. And by the way, you won't find Nolan's name in any of our books. He is referred to as a Kennedy aide. So he's not named, you know, because this is one of the first detailed times we're ever talking about this. So his name is not in print.
He just passed away.
Well, he passed away. Actually, he passed away almost 2 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But then, you know, then we had COVID. I didn't want to rush right out and do it. And I've mentioned him on your show exactly one other time with no real detail. So what Nolan gave me this incredible example. He said, look, what if a week before the coup plan, it looked like the U.S. ambassador to Panama had been shot on a street in Panama City, in Panama. You know, was that Castro trying to send us a message? What would we need to do? Well, you sure wouldn't want the U.S. ambassador's autopsy done in a Panamanian hospital. You would want to take it to a secure military facility. You would want to, you'd have a way where the autopsy would be done not by private doctors, but by military doctors subject to military command.
Once again, Lamar, the reason why they were doing this was they were afraid that if the American public found out that a U.S. official had been assassinated by Castro, that would create so much pressure on the Kennedy administration to attack Cuba in retaliation, much like we attacked Afghanistan after 9/11, that attack on Cuba would be inevitable, and that would provoke World War III, and that had to be stopped at all measures.
Exactly right, Tom. That's exactly right. So, because Nolan said, look, what if we attack Cuba? Then it turns out it was just a common mugging, or the ambassador had been shot by a jealous lover. So he said, we have to control the autopsy. We have to control all of the medical evidence. We have to control the release of any information about that autopsy. And there were other things, too. I mean, just in general, anything about that murder had to be filtered and carefully weighed in terms of national security. So I'll tell you, again, one more thing about Nolan, then we're going to move into somebody else's secret that we've never named before.
Yeah. Until today. And I remember when I found, well, it's this is bringing back so many recollections of all the years that we did all this work on this. It was amazing. Anyhow, back with more of Lamar Waldron in just a moment.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
We're doing a deep dive on the anniversary of the 48th assassination of John Kennedy into who killed him, how, and why. Boiled supermarket meats, sawdust like fillers, artificial preservatives. These are just a few of the potentially harmful ingredients found in many popular dog foods today. That's why Dr. Marty created Nature's Blend, a freeze-dried raw dog food made with real cuts of meat, omega-3 rich seeds, superfood veggies, and fruit. Dr. Marty has been called the miracle worker by Forbes because he's helped countless dogs thrive. Our dogs love this food. Nature's Blend is designed to help support your dog's playfulness, healthy skin, soft coat, easy digestion, and youthful mobility. Dogs go bonkers for the savory flavor and texture. For the holidays, save up to 54% off Nature's Blend and a free festive holiday dog sweater with select orders. Go to drmartypets.com/Tom or text Tom, T-H-O-M, to 511-511. They offer 100% 90-day return on your purchase price. Text Tom to 511-511 today. Offer available with select orders while supplies last. Text fees may apply. You may receive up to one additional text. Text stop, opt out.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
54. So it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference.
Right now, saving seems hard to wrap my head around.
AARP makes it easy. Go to aceyourretirement.org and chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach. It's free and only takes 3 minutes.
I like 3 minutes.
Answer some questions and get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings.
Thanks.
Just head to aceyourretirement.org. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly sunny skies today with highs around 47. West winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 33. Tonight, clear skies. Daytime highs approaching 53. Tomorrow, ample sunshine expected. Temperatures near average Sunday and Monday, with highs from the upper 30s to the low 40s. Chance for scattered showers Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%. APR, 4.05%. But choosing the right mortgage lender means choosing much more than just a rate. Let me ask you, does calling the company with the best client service in America, with 11 J.D. Power Awards to prove it, matter? Does calling the company that invented Rocket Mortgage, the industry's most innovative, client-focused technology, matter? Does calling the company with 17,000-plus team members who are helping to rebuild the great cities of Detroit and Cleveland matter? Of course it matters. No wonder our clients have made Quicken Loans America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com for the best mortgage experience on earth. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com. So we've got a new video up over at TomHartman.com for supporters of our program about the 14th Amendment and the debt ceiling. And, just kind of riddle me this one, Batman, right? The 14th Amendment reads, and I'm taking out the parts that specifically refer to pensions and bounties and for services suppressing the insurrection, because it came out of the Civil War. But the 14th Amendment reads, in part, the validity of the public debt of the United States shall not be questioned. In other words, Congress, you can't take actions that might cause the public debt not to be paid. You can't refuse to raise the debt ceiling, is how I read that. The debt ceiling, of course, didn't even exist when they wrote the 14th Amendment. That came along in 1917. But I think this is raising some really important questions, and I dig into it in this video over there. You can check it out. It's all over at TomHartman.com. And welcome back. We're talking with Lamar Waldron. Lamar, pick up the story.
So, two more crucial things about Nolan. So one of the big controversies about the autopsy is that in Dallas, the Dallas doctors, when a bullet wound is made in the body, generally you have a small entrance wound, then the bullet expands inside the body, and you have a large exit wound. So in Dallas, the doctors saw what at least one of them said was a small entrance wound, basically just below his Adam's apple in the hollow of his throat. okay? And JFK was having trouble breathing because half his brain had been blown out. So they did a small 2 to 3 centimeter tracheotomy incision over that small bullet hole. So you could still tell it was a bullet hole, but there was a small tracheotomy incision to try, desperate attempt to try to aid JFK's breathing. When the body, when the official autopsy started at Bethesda, and there's a photograph of JFK's body, that 2 to 3 centimeter little neat tracheotomy incision over the small bullet hole had been at least doubled in size, almost tripled in size, and now instead of being a neat little incision that a doctor had carefully done, it's this huge jagged wound, almost as if, as many people have pointed out, someone had gone into that wound and enlarged it looking for the bullet that made that wound. Okay? So, but the Dallas autopsy doctors, that wound was so big, I'm sorry, the Bethesda autopsy doctors, because there were no Dallas autopsy doctors, the three main Bethesda autopsy doctors, they didn't even know there was a bullet wound there. There was just this big gaping wound they assumed was a crude, quickly done tracheotomy thing that was you know, 2 or 3 times the size it was in Dallas. And so what was that all about? You know, when was that made? Because they didn't make it at the autopsy. It was that way when the official autopsy started. So I asked John Nolan. I said, look, some investigators and writers have theorized that there was a very brief and rushed national security autopsy before the main autopsy, the official autopsy, which at that time Oswald was still alive. So, you know, the official autopsy would probably wind up being used at Oswald's trial. You know, that's an official legal thing. But so I just asked John Nolan, was there like a little brief unofficial national security autopsy before the main autopsy the doctors got there and before, you know, the official autopsy began? And John Nolan, being one of America's top lawyers, said, he didn't say, well, what's a national security autopsy? He didn't say, no, there was no national security autopsy. He said, well, you know, there were just so many national security considerations that's why things had to be done a certain way. And he said it was part of all those plans we had been making, you know, in case an American official was assassinated. So I think, to me, yeah, he didn't deny it, and talked about the national. So yeah, there was a brief national security autopsy, and get this. In that brief national security autopsy, we know from other witnesses who saw it, including a guy who later became an admiral and a guy who later became the head of the Bethesda Hospital, there was a bullet, when they were taking JFK out of the coffin, there was a bullet that rolled out of JFK's back that right. made that back wound 6 inches below the top of his collar. So right.
If Oswald was the lone shooter, there would not be an entrance wound in the front of Kennedy's throat.
Right,
it would be an exit wound.
He was in the Skulbeck depository, either on the
behind
second
him.
Floor or the sixth floor. Yeah,
right.
Behind him. So, and of course, Dave Powers, one of JFK's closest aides, who was in the limo right behind JFK, said, and his buddy had confirmed to Tip O'Neill, Kenneth O'Donnell, that yeah, the first shot and the horrible fatal headshot, they both came from the grassy knoll.
Right. Dave Powers told me that.
I sat in his office. You were sitting in one of JFK's rocking chairs.
That's correct.
Because Dave Powers was the head of the JFK Presidential Library, and somebody who was working on their newsletter had been to our seminar, and we used that connection. And yeah, so you're sitting there with John Nolan was Robert Kennedy's closest aide. Dave Powers was JFK's closest aide, and in the car right behind JFK with Kenny O'Donnell, and he told you, yep, first shot and the horrible fatal headshot, yep, they came from the front.
And later confirmed it. So, So
so that's why there was that national security autopsy. That's why so much medical evidence
right.
has disappeared. We'll talk about that after the break, and then we'll get into the source that you interviewed.
Right, got to make sure, but the not bottom line here, got to make sure it was some lone shooter.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Hey, Hey, Pack Rat. Yeah, you. Are you moving cross-country and you just don't know who to call? Call us right now. Listen, you've probably seen one of our containers in your neighborhood. But did you know that we can help you move anywhere in the United States? It's real simple. We'll drop a container off at the location you tell us to bring it to. You pack up your valuable possessions at your leisure. They stay safe right in your home. And when you're ready, call us. We'll come and pick up the container and give you a scheduled date of when your furniture and the other possessions will be at your new home. So if you're moving across country or across town, be a Pack Rat. Join the Pack Rat family. Call Pack Rat right now for your free quote. See y'all later, Pack Rats.
800-334-5468. 800-334-5468. 800-334-5468. That's 800-334-5468.
WAUK will be broadcasting the Waukesha Christmas Parade live, and you can become a sponsor. Call us at 262-232-8164. Sponsorship includes an on-air interview during the live broadcast of the Christmas Parade. A portion of the proceeds goes directly to the Waukesha Memorial Fund. Please call at 262-232-8164. That's 262-232-8164.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, the show.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.